guitars, pianos, horns, and lyrics about the dog days of summer and ladies' underwear make up what's being called Josh Ritter's most adventurous release yet, called The Historical Conquests of Josh Ritter. He's been described as a singer-songwriter, alt-country or folk. You decide. All these kids that think they're quick on the draw, always shooting at outlaws. I'm busy keeping my cool cut. I'm gonna know you when you finally come, cause I got you in my mind's eye. I got you in my mind's eye. Maybe none of those labels apply. The name of that song is Mind's Eye from the new record. Josh Ritter joins us at the Bryant Park Project Studios. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. So when you hear people try to decide, oh, should this be in the folk bin singer-songwriter bin or the alternative bin, where do you think your music should be?
I think rock and roll with lots of words. That's what it would be.
The Josh Ritter bin.
If I couldn't be a lounge singer or a big band singer.
Dude, not lounge singer, big band.
Okay.
There's a big difference.
Josh, this is your fourth studio album, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. Checking the internets, the interwebs, you can get confused that way. The Washington Post described it as your most freewheeling of records, unfussy orchestral pop to unfettered rock and roll. So was it your intention to make this big old stew of a record?
Yeah, I made a record last year put out called The Animal Years that was really, I thought it was really, you know, I spent a lot of time on every little tiny bit and getting lots of things just how I wanted them, because I wanted all the songs to fit together and that sort of thing. You react to it by kind of wanting to, you know, blow something up, and punch a wall on occasion, you know, and that's sort of what I wanted this record to sound like, was just, you know, having fun. And, you know, we did it up in Maine at 10 below zero with BB guns, and it was really fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was the Great North Sound Society. It's kind of newish facility. It sounds like a really interesting place to make a record. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a farmhouse from 1790, and the walls are papered with old, I think it was the Boston Advertiser, you know, with Stephen Crane short stories on the walls and all these, you know, just stuff that was, when you take away all the plaster and things, it was just used to line the walls to keep the wind out. So you look at all these great old stories about, like, you know, all this stuff about the exposure of mania and pregnant women in 1890 and all this crazy stuff. It's amazing.
So it must have seeped into the new record
a little bit.
Let's hear a song from the record. Which one do you want to do first?
I'll do To the Dogs or Whoever.
Okay.
Deep in the belly of a whale I found her, down with the deep blue jail around her, running her hands through the ribs of the dark, Florence and Calamity and Joan of Arc. I love the way she looks in her underwear, lose my page in the plot in the book, then I swear she makes the most of her time, but loving me plenty, she knows there'll come a day when we won't be getting any. Stain of the sepia, the butcher crying me through the wreck of a brass band. I thought I could see her in a cakewalk. She came through the dead and the lame, just a little bird floating on a hurricane. I was flat on my back, my feet in the thorns. I was in between the apples and the chloroform. She came to me off and I was sure I was dying. It was always hard to tell if she was laughing or crying. I thought I heard somebody calling. In the dark, I thought I heard somebody call. Joan never cared about the in-betweens, combed her hair with the blade at the Maid of Orleans. Said Christ walked on water, we could wade through the war. You don't need to tell me who the virus for, and bring me a love that could sweeten the sword, a boat that can love the rocks of the shore, the love of an iceberg reaching out for the wreck. Can you love me like the crosses of the nape of the neck? Was it Casey Jones, or Casey at the bat, who died out of pride and got famous for that? Killed by a swerve, laid low by the curb. Do you ever think they ever thought they got what they deserved? Don't pity the bullet, pity the man. They both find a place in the same sad plan. Both are like the barrel going over the falls, crying all the way down. I never asked to be involved. I thought I heard somebody calling. In the dark, I thought I heard somebody call. General George began the day by taking pink little pills. Sent his men through the top of some hell of a hill. Through the whisper of trees came artillery breeze. Said I love the way the wind comes tickling my knees. Jane shot the apple right between the eyes. I was thinking of her when you came outside. Lemonade on your breath, sun in your hair. Did I mention how I love you in your underwear? Deep in the belly of a whale I found her. Down with the deep blue jail around her. Running her hands through the ribs of the dark. Long as a calamity of Joan of Arc. I thought I heard somebody call. Dark, I thought I heard somebody call. I thought I heard somebody call, man. Dark, I thought I heard somebody call.
I mean this in the absolute, absolute best way, but that sounds to me like a kind of like a Bob Dylan record that it's like a 45, but somebody put it on 78,
yeah,
or whatever
yeah,
the faster version is.
It's hard not to keep on speeding it up. I think like I like it when it goes really fast, lots of words.
You better play that song last because you're gonna be out of breath, like at your show. I'm glad that I'm giving you advice, like I even know.
No, that's I'm gonna yeah. It's so much fun to play this stuff live. It's just kind of wild music, you know. And I always started. I really started up in coffee houses, you know. Where there's no liquor and everybody plays very quietly. You know, this is really fun for me.
Well, you grew up in Idaho, right?
Yeah,
and I've
yeah.
been to Moscow, Idaho.
You
so
have?
I know it's not a whole lot of folks up in Moscow, Idaho.
Wow, that's amazing. You're there.
It's beautiful. Okay. Beautiful, but I'm curious how growing up in sort of a remote area mm-hmm. like that really shaped the way that you developed your music and you learned to write.
I think mostly like the amount of free time that you have and the inability to get in any kind of trouble, which is like, you know, there's just nothing out there to get in trouble with. I started playing guitar because, you know, I lived way out of town and there was nothing really else to do, you know. And, I mean, we threw rocks at rocks most of the time, you know. That was
it's a been big time.
Yeah, there's a team, you know, and so
it's a team sport there in Moscow.
Huge.
It is Moscow, Idaho.
Moscow is great. It's kind of like where that's the epicenter of northern Idaho, but the littler towns around there, we've got Harvard and Beauville and Yale and Vassar and Princeton. There's all these like little Ivy League college towns around there, which are fantastic to go to, and you should come out if you have a chance.
Go to Winchester, population 262. I spent a night in Winchester.
Did you listen to a lot of Built to Spill? Because that guy, Doug Marsh, he writes about Idaho all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys are great, you know, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I always feel like no matter where I go, I always have like a fair amount of Idaho in my music that comes out, you know, just because it's just, I first came to New York on St. Patrick's Day in I think 1999, and I got lost in Central Park, and a bunch of Lebanese guys wearing shamrock hats helped me find my way out.
Had you been drinking? Are you sure?
Yeah.
No. Are you sure?
It was a fun. It's always amazing to come to New York, you know. And but I'm really glad to still be out in Idaho and having that time alone to kind of write and things.
Luke mentioned that obviously Bob Dylan, one of your influences, and it's cool when you go on Amazon.com, they asked you about music that people should listen to, and you mentioned Dylan, you mentioned Bach, but you also mentioned Nina Simone.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick listen to a track from Nina Simone for people who aren't familiar.
I say, oh, Baltimore ain't it hard.
So what is it about Nina Simone and this track that really moves you? Do you think people need to hear it?
Well, I mean, I love the sound of her voice, and for me, you know, I don't have like a real pretty voice, but I really love the way that she has this like, she could say anything and I would know what she was saying. You know, like when she sings like, I put a spell on you or something, it sounds like she's just grown nails and she's about to pluck out your eyes, you know, and something like Baltimore, I just know what she's talking about. I mean, even if I'd never been to Baltimore, I would know what she meant, you know. And she also had this way of finding songs like Randy Newman, of songwriters, and finding something totally new in them that wasn't there before. I love her music.
Well, before we let you go, we're going to ask you to play one more song for us. It is going to be "The Temptation of Adam." What's this about?
Yeah, this is a song about falling in love in a missile silo.
You know what, Allie? Before he starts playing, let's just say you've been listening to the Bryant Park Project. This is Josh Ritter. He's got a new record coming out, The Historical Conquests of Josh Ritter. You can check him out at joshritter.com. And why don't you play us on out?
Thanks a lot, you guys, for having me here. If this was the Cold War, we could keep each other warm. I said on the first occasion that I met Marie. We were crawling through the hatch that was the missile silo door, and I don't think that she really thought that much of me. I never had to learn to love her like I learned to love the bomb. She just came along and started to ignore me. But as we waited for the big one, I started singing her my songs. I think she started feeling something for me. We passed the time with crosswords that she thought to bring inside. What five letters spell apocalypse, she asked me. I won her over singing W-W-I-I-I. She smiled and we both knew that she'd misjudged me. Oh Marie, it was so easy to fall in love with you. It felt almost like a home of sorts or something. You would keep the warhead missile silo good as new, and I'd watch you with my thumb above the button. Then one night you found me in my army issue cot, and you told me of your flash of inspiration. You said fusion was the broken heart that's lonely's only thought. All night long you drove me wild with your equations. Oh Marie, do you remember all the time we used to take? We'd make our love and then ransack the rations. And I think about you leaving now, the avalanche cascades, and my eyes get washed away in chain reactions. Oh, Maria. Oh, Marie, if you would stay, then we could stick pins in the map of all the places where you thought that love would be found. But I would only need one pin to show where my love's at, in a top secret location 300 feet under the ground, or we could hold each other close. We'd stay up every night looking up into the dark like it's the night sky, and pretend this giant missile is an old oak tree instead, and carve our name in hearts into the warhead. Oh, Marie, there's something tells me things just won't work out above, that our love would live a half-life on the surface. So at night while you are sleeping, I hold you closer just because. As our time grows short, I get a little nervous. So I think about the big one, W-W-I-I-I. Would we ever really care? The world had ended. And you could hold me here forever, like you're holding me tonight. I think about that great big button, and I'm tempted.
I wish I knew how to whistle through my teeth, but I don't. This has been the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.